Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Grace Gospel of Jesus Christ. My name is Yvonne, and I will be your facilitator for however long Heavenly Father allows us to share. And as always, the Holy Spirit is our host. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, holy is your name. Thank you for another glorious day, brand new mercy, and thank you for more grace upon grace upon grace to do what you want us to do, to be what you want us to be, which is your very own, your sons, your children, your people, your holy people. I can't thank you enough, Lord, just for being you. And if you never did anything else, truly you've done more than enough in so many ways. It is truly a privilege and honor to be a willing vessel for your glory, totally yielded to your will, your way, and your timing. Thank you for this podcast, which is the Masses with the Grace Gospel. Thank you for Pastor Creflo Dollar and Pastor Taffy Dollar, and the entire World Changers Church International Ministry. For truly, Heavenly Father, I have blessed us in so many ways and continue to do so. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Well, I was up to the wee hours of the morning. And so here we are once again with another glorious message the Holy Spirit has chosen for us. And it is by none other than Pastor Brother Creflo. And the title is Understanding How to Be Content. Understanding How to Be Content. Let's listen. Still waiting as well. I'm going to pause for just a second, see what happened here. One moment.
Old for Christ. It's time to come together from all over the world as we discover truth, build up our faith, and ignite a fire to reveal Christ in our daily lives. Don't miss the 2021 Grace Life Conference, July 15th through the 16th. Register now and get more info by texting Grace Life to 51555 or by visiting CreflodollarMinistries.org.
Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 12. I want to start off in the King James. Now, this is pretty important here. I really want you to gain the context of what I'm about to show you. So listen carefully. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness plus contentment equals great gain. Verse 7, I'm going to read through 12. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So why are you looking for things that you didn't bring in the world and you can't carry out to be responsible for making you content? He says, and having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. Having food and clothes, let us therefore be content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, or trusting money, see, some people trust money for their contentment. He's addressing it here. For the love of money is the root of all evil. See, he brings right in the middle, right in this context, he's talking about contentment. Starts off with godliness plus contentment is great gain. But then he warns you and he says, don't try to find contentment in money. The love of money, what is that? That's trusting money instead of trusting God. And he says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee from these things. Flee from the things that the rest of the world finds satisfaction in. The rest of the world finds contentment in. And he says, and follow after righteousness, follow after godliness, follow after faith, follow after love, follow after patience and meekness. Verse 12. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. You know what fighting the good fight of faith is? Fighting a good fight of faith means that you are going to maintain your stance on what Jesus has already done. You're going to maintain what Jesus obtained. The good fight of faith is when the circumstances try to get you to no longer trust in God. The good fight of faith is, I'm not content based on the circumstances. You can't move me from trusting God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and you can bring it on, but I'm going to be content. I'm going to be satisfied in my relationship in Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He said to hold on to that. Now, man, that's something powerful. Let's milk this a little bit. Now, I've come to realize that our world lives in a constant state of discontentment. Turn the news on. You constant state of discontentment. And we're not happy with, you know, people in the world, they're not happy with their wife, they're not happy with their husband, they're not happy with their children, they're not happy with their leaders, they're not happy with the things that they have, you know, the TV is too small. It's outdated. The cell phone doesn't have the latest 5G technology. So we live in a world that lives in a constant state of discontentment. And so how do we find contentment in such a restless world? Well, I already told you, you can only find it in Jesus. You can only find it in Christ. And I know when you know, Christian people won't have a problem with what I'm saying. But you go and you bring your unsaved uncle, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you got a problem. That's the whole deal, man. The whole deal is that you came to the earth, you got a whole lifetime to figure out how to get connected with Jesus, or you die without him. And when you die without him, then the first thing you're going to realize when you're dead is that there is a Jesus. You missed the truth. And so we come to the point where we understand that contentment, I find it when I get Jesus. I started to say I find it when I find Christ, but Christ isn't lost. We're the one that's lost. We didn't find Christ. He found us, praise God. Now, many of us are trying to fill a void of some kind in our lives, and unfortunately, we try to fill the void with things that can't really satisfy. We're constantly trying to fill the void with things that can't satisfy. You go buy the nicest car, it can't satisfy. You go buy the biggest house, it can't satisfy. You get the prettiest girl or the most handsome guy, it can't satisfy. There's a place in your heart that can only be satisfied by Jesus sitting on the throne of your life. And you keep sitting other things on the throne of your life, and they will never be able to bring you fulfillment, because only Jesus can bring fulfillment, and you have to invite him to sit on the throne of your life. We look to fill the void with possessions or money, but we only end up wanting more. And that's the issue. When you're not content, it'll move you to greed. If you're not content, you want more. You want more. And now that, remember I said the difference between complacency and contentment. All right? So we try to fill that void with relationships. Some even try to fulfill that void with sex, but we end up feeling even more empty and depressed than when we started. And so when those things become the end goals, when the end goals become, you know, money and car and house and sex and abusing people in relationship, when that becomes the end goals and the reason for our being, then we end up discontent. We end up discontent. I mean, after you get the big house you always dreamed up, then what? After you get all the fame that you dreamed up, then what? After everybody knows your name, then what? After you won the Academy Award or whatever the awards is, then what? That's the thing. It's like, I know so many people who have their goals, they reach their goals, and they're suicidal. So that didn't get it. That didn't get it. I see so many people that say, oh, but if I was making this much money, then I'll be satisfied. And oh, if I lived in this house, I'd be satisfied. And oh, if I had this kind of wife, I'd be satisfied. Or oh, if I had this kind of family, then I'd be satisfied. And then they get it. They work real hard, and they've disregarded all of the people that love them on the way. And by the time they get to the top or get to the spot where they want to be, not only are they not satisfied, but there's no one there to share it with, because they stepped on everybody on the way. And they're discontent, because in their life, that was the end result. That was the thing that they wanted to have in their life. And so it's sad. It's sad. Those things were never meant to bring you fulfillment. None of those things I just mentioned, they were never meant to bring you fulfillment. And somehow mankind thinks that these things will bring fulfillment. They were never meant to. You got to understand, God who designed the system, here's what he plugged into the equation. The only way a human will ever be fulfilled is in Christ. And a lot of folks don't want to hear that. But look at your life right now. Look at all the things you've worked hard for and you've earned. And look at all the money you got. And look at all the fame you got. And look at all the women you got. Or look at all the men you got. And look at all your business. And look at it. Just look at it. Whew. But you're still not fulfilled. And you'll die unfulfilled if you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you don't make Christ the one that you find fulfillment in. Let's look at some scripture and let's see what the word has to say. Now, I've already looked at 2 Corinthians, but I want to look at 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 through the English Standard Version, the ESV. I want to show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. I want to share about five scriptures with you, and let's just look biblically what the word has got to say concerning this contentment only found in Christ. Here's what he said, verse 9 and 10. He says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." Wow. Now that's pretty cool, because being content on my way to the next level, grace will be sufficient for me. Grace will be sufficient for me. Jesus will be sufficient for me. Remember now, grace is a person. Jesus will be more than enough for me. Hallelujah. Jesus will be my source of contentment. "But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. There it is. For the sake of Christ, I am content. With weaknesses, I am content. With insults, I am content. With hardships, I am content. With persecutions, I am content. With calamities, I am content. Why? For when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because my contentment is not going to be based and found in the things that are going on. Not going to be based or found in whether I'm weak or strong, or insults or not insults, or whether folks are talking about me or not talking about me. That is not, I do not find my contentment in what people think about me or what they say about me. My contentment is in Christ. And that's what this Bible says, that I'm content with all of the other things that come. That's powerful. To know you can live in a discontent world, surrounded by a bunch of people who are discontent, and still be satisfied, still be happy, still have an ease of mind. And you've got to be careful now not to allow other people's circumstances to challenge you being satisfied and content. But even in the midst of horrific, egregious circumstances, I am content because I'm in Christ. That's a powerful thing to know. Look at Romans 12 and 12. Romans 12, 2 in the New Living Translation. Romans 12, 2 in the New Living Translation. Contentment in life, I believe, starts with renewing your mind. And I believe that contentment in life, if you want to get away from discontentment, you're going to have to think differently than the world. You're going to have to think differently from the world's way of thinking. If you start thinking like the world thinks, then you will absorb the discontentment that comes from that worldly way of thinking. But if you'll renew your mind and make sure you don't copy the world's way of thinking, but you absorb the Word of God and let it renew your mind, then what's going to happen is you're going to be set towards contentment, because you find your contentment in Word and in Christ. Look what he says here, verse 2. He says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Why? God knows it all leads to discontentment. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How am I going to be transformed into a new person? By changing the way you think. Change the way you think. Be transformed into a new person. I meet people all the time who they want to become a new person. They want to become a better person, but they don't want to change their thinking. They want to allow their thinking to be lined up with the customs and the behavior of the world. And this world is a place filled with discontentment. So to think like them and then thus behave like them makes you're going to be putting yourself in a position where you're going to be discontent just like they are. How do I get out of the discontentment of the world? Hey, I'm going to allow God to transform me. I'm going to allow God to make me this new person by changing the way I think. And I'm going to allow him to teach me how to think in line with his way, in line with his word. And the Bible says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When will I know God's will for me, which is good and pleasing and perfect? When I renew my mind. When I stop copying the behavior and the patterned ways of thinking of the world. Yeah, I know the whole world just looks at me and other Christians and they think, well, those guys are crazy. Of course the devil wants people to think that. But I tell you one thing, people who do this thing that I'm preaching and people that renew their mind with the Word of God, they're new people today. They'll knew people today, and they'll testify how they didn't believe, and they'll testify how they were big atheists. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to understand the word. That's why the devil will do anything to keep you away from the world word. He wants to discredit people like myself so that you don't pay any attention to what we say. And then you think, well, he's just a money-hungry preacher. All he wants is your money. All he wants is your money. That's even a lie. That whole phrase right there is just a lie from the devil. I mean, how come he don't have you saying all the grocery stores want is your money? How come he don't have you saying, you know, all the basketball teams want is your money? He don't have you saying that. Satan has a plan to try to stop you from hearing the truth that will bring you to Christ, the truth that will turn you into a new person, the truth that will cause you to renew your mind so you can come into the will of God that is perfect. And that is the perfect will of God. That is pleasing. That's the pleasing will of God. That is good. That's the good will of God. Amen. Look at Proverbs 14 and 30 in the NLT. Proverbs 14 and 30 in the NLT. Discontentment and stress. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with discontentment? It'll rob you of health. But when you're in contentment, you'll have peace, and contentment will give life to the body. Did you know that? Your discontentment, living a life in discontentment, it robs you of health. It robs you of life. Look at the scripture here, verse 30. He says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Think of that. Now you know why I say if it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. Because a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. He says, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Jealousy, that's discontentment. That's discontentment. In the middle of circumstances, you're jealous. That's not going to be healthy to you. It's walking in contentment, walking in peace ministers health to the body. But walking in discontentment, walking in jealousy, walking in the flesh, it'll cause cancer in the bones. Man, that's powerful. I believe right now that the number one cause of cancer is discontentment and stress. There it is. I believe that the key to life is living a life of ease, a life of contentment, a life where you're satisfied whether things going good or things going bad. That's the key to a healthy life and a long life and a healthy body. I had the Lord just say this to me a few days ago. He said, son, you do well to pursue self-control as a gift and a life of ease and peace, for that is the key to long life and happiness and health. And I'm learning how to do that. I'm learning how not to trip out over everything. I'm learning how to laugh a lot. I'm learning how to, you know, well, whether this thing is good or whether it is bad, all is well. You know, when they first announced the pandemic, I'm like, you know, Lord, you know, it's up to you because I'm in you. I mean, at the end of the day, if the church closes and everything, I still have a relationship with Jesus. And that's what you got to understand. At the end of the day, if you lose your house, if you lose your car, if you lose everything, you're never going to lose Jesus. You still can have a relationship with him. And that did something to me. All of a sudden, I'm the care of the whole thing, I could roll it out over on the Lord. And that's what I'm wanting you to do right now. The situation you're in, man, find contentment. Find contentment and divorce discontentment. Get it out of your life. Look at Job 36 and 11. Let's look at it in the NIV. Job 36 and 11. You know, I believe that serving God will allow you to have those years of contentment. I really do. I believe that serving God and being a follower of God will allow you to have those years of contentment. He says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity or success and their years in contentment. I just believe that walk with God, that relationship with God. And I've come to the place in my life that when people ask me, you know, how things work, I tell them first base is a relationship with Jesus. First base is a relationship with Jesus. You're wanting me to give you the three steps to make that work. No, no. First base is relationship with Jesus. And when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you serve him and you walk with him, you're going to spend your days in prosperity and your years are going to be spent in contentment, praise God. God will speak to your heart and then you're willing to carry it out. God will tell you to go here and you'll go there. God will tell you to do this and you'll do that. You're cooperating with him, man. You're walking in a place where you're saying, God, I give you the honor and the authority to speak into my life, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And as I live this way, and as I serve you because I want to serve you in praise and worship and doing whatever you want me to do, I want to be your hands in this earth. I want to do everything you tell me to do, Lord. He says, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in contentment. I want years in contentment. I want years in contentment. I do not want this side of my life on the other side of 50s to be stressful. That's not happening. I'm in peace. It'll be fine. I've been in the ministry almost 40 years, and I'm telling you right now, it'll be fine. It'll be just fine. It may not look like it right now, but it'll be just fine. And just live a life of contentment because I'm in Christ and all is well. Look at this last scripture in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23 in the NIV. Proverbs 19, 23 in NIV. You know, the fear of the Lord will cause us to rest in content. Walking in the fear of the Lord will cause us to rest in content. Proverbs 19, 23, he says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rest content, untouched by trouble. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you're walking in reverence to God and respect to God. And I shared this morning that, you know, those that respect the Lord, you know, God says in the day of trouble, he will deliver them. We're walking in the fear of the Lord and reverencing the Lord and respect there. It leads to life. And then you can rest content and untouched by trouble. Why? It's your relationship in him. It's your relationship with him. I need not try to explain to somebody how to get something to work if they're not interested in a relationship in Jesus.
True contentment can only be found in Jesus Christ. In his brand new two-message series, What is True Contentment?, Creflo Dollar shares what makes contentment that is pleasing to God. Get your copy right now for your gift of just $15 or more.
After you get the big house you always dreamed of, then what? After you get all the fame that you dreamed up, then what? After everybody knows your name, then what? I do not find my contentment in what people think about me or what they say about me. My contentment is in Christ, and that's what this Bible says. That's powerful. To know you can live in a discontent world and still be satisfied.
Add the Radical Abiding in the Word mini book to make a combo today and get all of these transformative resources for your gift of $25 or more.
Have you ever wondered how the financial support from our viewers makes a difference in people's lives? We receive testimonies every day from people whose lives have been shattered by natural disasters, failed marriages, bankrupt businesses, and so on. They share how our outreach efforts and messages about God's grace have changed their lives in a tangible way. And for that, we give God all the glory. Today, I invite you to prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. We know you'll be empowered to see real change in others and prosper in your own life.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. God bless you. Creflo and Taffy Dollar love connecting with you. And here at World Changers, we understand the importance of using technology to do just that. We're constantly working to bring the gospel of Christ to thousands of viewers and followers around the world. And we want you to get involved. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We want to make the word of grace available throughout every voice of social media.
Join us online as we bring you praise and worship from the World Changers Church family and the Word of God from Pastors Creflo Dollar and Taffy Dollar. For more information, visit us at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's podcast. If you'd like to support our ministry, you can text World Changers space and the amount to 74483 or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/giving. You can also make a contribution by phone by dialing toll-free 866-477-7683. We appreciate your support as we continue to help people understand grace and empower them to change.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Number one, for fixing my phone so that it would work, so that the listeners could hear Pastor Creflo Dollar. And I don't know why it happened, but Lord, you are in control of all things, and I'm so grateful that you may not come when we want, but you're always on time. And so I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for the powerful message from Pastor Creflo Dollar. And I thank you for, again, that entire ministry. And it is because you have blessed them so much with donations and supporters and yielded vessels for your kingdom, because truly the body of Christ is real today, and everybody is doing their part so that everything can be received by the masses. And they're all gifts. They're all gifts. Your grace has given us so many gifts for your kingdom, for your name, for your power, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm so, again, blessed through that message about contentment. It's amazing how when you really understand free of grace, his free gift of grace, a lot of things become more clear in your life, and you don't have the same worries or the same anxiety and stressors that you had before. And so it really is freeing. It really is gives you peace and gives you joy and gives you a desire to do God's will. And it gives you the ability. And then, of course, Holy Spirit gives you the power. And of course, with Jesus, you get all the authority. And as you study the scriptures and learn to rightly divide them with the Holy Spirit's help. He is the teacher, Spirit of Truth, and he's going to only teach you everything about Jesus, which is the whole reason that, you know, we're here, we're saved, we have grace, we have mercy, because God sees Jesus. And so why wouldn't we be content? We have everything we need. And Heavenly Father, he already tells us, don't worry about clothes and food and material things, because number one, he says, I take care of the birds and they don't go without. So why not trust me that you're even better than the birds, bigger than the birds, more important than the birds, more loved than the birds. And that is so true, isn't it? You know, that we know that God gave us Jesus. And some people take that so lightly and so for granted. If you really think about it, that's his only begotten son. And just like we spoke about yesterday, that Jesus suffered. He suffered to die. He painfully suffered. And when you think about how they mocked him, how they struck him and then said, prophesy who struck you, and then they spit on him. And so here we have the sinless King of all kings, our Messiah, our Savior and Lord. He is God in the flesh, the only begotten Son. He was always there with Heavenly Father in heaven, creating and doing all of the things that Heavenly Father does. That's why he could say, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one. And what did they want to do? They wanted to kill him because they said, blasphemer, you're blaspheming, because they did not believe who he said he was. And just like we said before, history continues to repeat itself. There are so many people right now, well, I don't believe in that white man's Bible. So they come up with their own idea of who God is, and they just leave out Jesus because Jesus must be the white man's Jesus and the white man's religion. And so you got religions now, like, I want to say, I can't think of the name of it, but there are many that just, well, I guess Nation of Islam is one of them. I just thought about that. Nation of Islam believes that the creator is Allah. And they got to say stuff where as soon as they mention his name. But that's one of them religious rules. As soon as you mention his name, you got to, I can't even think of what it is, something unmerciful. They have to say something right after they speak his name. And if they mention any of his prophets, even Jesus, they say something like, may he rest in peace. Right after you say that name, you got to say something else, another rule about the one who's passed away. And so they believe in Jesus as a prophet, but they don't believe Jesus as the only Messiah and Savior of your soul, of your spirit, of your sin, so that you don't go to hell and the lake of fire. So anyway, I didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole, but I was given an example of people who just cast out Jesus. They just cast him out. We got Jehovah's Witnesses. They say that they believe in Jesus as the Messiah. They believe that he saved them from their sins so that they won't die. And they don't really believe in hell as an eternal fire. They just believe, you know, that once you literally take your last breath, it's over for you. And then when you show them the scripture about how hell was created for the devil and the demons and for people who reject the God's plan of salvation, which is Jesus, they look dumbfounded. They don't really have an answer. So if you don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, Savior and Lord, Creator, right up there with Heavenly Father, then how can you really receive his gifts of grace? How can you receive forgiveness of sin? How can you receive even this understanding of contentment, which is why you see them out there knocking on the doors with the magazines, they on the street, holding umbrellas with that magazine rack, with the books, trying to get Bible studies. They're not content. They believe that their way of getting close to God so that they don't get destroyed in Armageddon if they live to see the day. So they know that he saved them from sin, but they don't know him. In fact, the teaching that they have, and this is why I know, because I grew up it. My mother was Jehovah's Witness, so I know the teaching, and I went, you know, studied and went to the Kingdom Hall, did talks and did field service and all of that. So the teaching about Jesus, just so you know, it is they believe that Jesus had a beginning. They believe that Jesus was created, believe that Jesus is Michael, the archangel. So when you take them to the scripture that says, what angel have I called my only begotten son? Once again, they look dumbfounded. And as crazy as it is, their Bible says the same thing. If we was to go to their Bible, it says it. But it's just amazing. This is why we had to come back to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you if you ask him. You don't have to take people's word for what the Bible says. And one thing that I love is that even though my mother is not a Jehovah's Witness based on the organization, doctrine, traditions, blah, 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 you know, she studies and she receives the truth from the Holy Spirit. She enjoys listening to Pastor Creflo, and she's getting there. She's definitely getting there. She has stopped going to the Kingdom Hall. She takes her Holy Communion, and she knows that everybody was commanded to remember Jesus's body and his blood through Holy Communion. Whereas with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they only do it for the 144,000, which they believe that 144,000 of their members are the only ones that can do Holy Communion and go to heaven. That amazing. And for all of the people out there who know Jehovah's Witness, you know, who have family or friends, one thing that helped my mom is this book called In Search of Christian Freedom. And he has two books. I can't think of the other one right now. Maybe I'll Google search it while I'm talking. His name is Franz, F-R-A-N-Z. His last name is Franz. I can't think of the first name right now, but I'll find it. And he was one of the governing body elders. And he was used, I believe, by God to tell the truth about what those governing body elders do up there in the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in New York. He tells you the real truth. He's not an apostate. You know, they say he's an apostate, the Jehovah's Witnesses. When I tried to give them his book when it come to my door,
they, you know, they make phone calls, and the next thing you know, they start calling him an apostate, and they can't take the book. But he's not. He was up there with the other governing body elders. There's 12 of them, generally older, 70s and up. And when one dies, it's kind of like Judges. They get another one. And they're the ones that say that they get the revelation from Jehovah. They don't even say from the Holy Spirit. They say they get the revelation from Jehovah. They believe the Holy Spirit is a force that does things throughout the earth, but not something that you can receive into your heart. Isn't that amazing? And so this guy, Franz, he told the truth about how this whole organization really works. And what ended up happening, which is why he wrote these books, is that he began to question these doctrines. You know, he began to say, is this really biblical, to himself first? And of course, with prayer, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, showed him that it wasn't, that these were just opinions of these men, and things like, you know, no blood transfusion. That's not biblical. Yeah, he told you not to drink blood because pagan people in Rome drank blood just for pagan rituals. But is that the same as taking blood into your veins to save your life? Well, there are a lot of baptized Jehovah's Witnesses that have died in blood transfusions. And so this is serious. If you don't rightly divide the word of God, this is serious. So this man, again, told the truth about how these men decide on what to put in those printed magazines and books that goes distributed out to the people. And one thing I could tell you, the Jehovah's Witnesses ain't like, you know, Baptists, where you got all these different sects of Baptists. They are one in every congregation. They all get the same food from the books, food from the magazine, and they all do the same lesson every Sunday, every Wednesday. You know, they get the same all across the board. So if you go to Kingdom Hall in Kentucky, Louisville, you're going to get the same exact word when you go to Rome, Italy. They're all the same everywhere. And so that's how they can do that, is because it comes from that Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, the governing board and the governing elders, and they make sure it's the same everywhere. So I said all of that to say, when this guy began to question some of these teachings, and he began to say, you know, this is really more somebody else's research and opinion, and then everybody agrees on it because nobody wants to be, you know, kind of like the juror who don't agree. What happens when you're the juror that don't agree? Well, then you have to sit there until you agree. Isn't that amazing? You don't think about it. Jurors, they are held in that room for sometimes days, weeks, months, until they all agree. And if they don't, then there might be something, I can't remember what it's called now, but it might be something where the judge has to get involved, and I can't remember what it's called. But for them, they all have to agree. So imagine the pressure this man was under when he didn't agree with what they were saying, because he knew it was their own research, their own opinion, and they all had to literally say, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and put it in the books and the magazines. And because he didn't agree, they didn't like him, and they disfellowshipped him. And, of course, that broke his heart, because he knew how important these teachings are to all of the members, all of the people. And so he made it with the Holy Spirit's help in the name of Jesus, his life to write these two books about his experience. He's not putting them down. He's not saying anything bad about the organization. He is only telling the truth about what he experienced. His name is Raymond Franz, and I'm going to give you the title of the book for all of those out there who have family. The best thing that I could tell you to do is read the books first yourself. It's awesome. And then from that, you can bring it up to the Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on your door or your family members and tell them how much you appreciated it and learned so much. And then see if they ask you for it, because a lot of them will. A lot of them are interested. I've met some who I gave them the books, the names and address of the books, and they read it. I never got a chance to follow up with them because some of them were just people on the street who came up to me with the, you know, Jehovah's Witness teachings. And I told them, I said, I'm familiar. And are you familiar with Raymond Franz? And some immediately were, oh, yeah, he's an apostate. No, he's not. Let me tell you why he's not. And I told them. And then others were so young, you know, a lot of these young Jehovah's Witnesses don't know about Raymond Franz. It's the older ones who remember what happened. But the younger ones were always interested in reading it. So here's the title of the book, Crisis of Conscience, 1983. Crisis of Conscience, it says, the struggle between loyalty to God and loyalty to one's religion. Look at that. Crisis of Conscience, the struggle between loyalty to God and loyalty to one's religion. That's Crisis of Conscience. The next one is In Search of Christian Freedom. And I just love it. And let me read you his little bio real quick. It says, a third-generation Jehovah's Witness, Raymond Franz served 40 years at every level of the organization structure. He spent 9 of those years as a member of the Central Executive Council, the governing body, a rare look into the words, actions, and attitudes of a small group of men who served as administrators, legislators, and judges for Jehovah's Witnesses. Listen, y'all, you can get this book, PDF copy, free on the Internet, and you can also get it from me. If you want a copy of this book, I have it on my computer, both books. Email me at Yvonne Watson, my name, Yvonne, Watson, 0501, that's my birthday, that's coming up May 1st, 0501 @gmail.com to read. And this changed my mom's life. She calls this brother her hero because this is how she came out from under those strict religious rules, as we already know, and she has received the grace and the forgiveness of sin as well. And she's still on her journey, just like we all are, you know, and that's why we don't judge, we don't pray, we don't judge, and we don't criticize, and we don't, you know, put people down. We pray that Heavenly Father will continue to reveal through the Holy Spirit of truth, you know, what he wants them as well as us to know in our relationship with him and our walk with him. And that's the wonderful thing about grace, is that it doesn't make you want to go out and sin and do the opposite. It makes you want to learn about Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It makes you want to read the Bible. It makes you want, you know, receive the truth in the Word, rightly dividing it. It makes you want to have power to use the gifts that God has given you to share with other people what you've learned. It makes you want to be holy, for he is holy. And you don't want to do the things that you used to do because you don't want to ruin that precious relationship that you have with him. And you appreciate and have so much gratitude and thanksgiving that he didn't let you die in your sin on this earth. And he didn't, you know, send you to hell in the lake of fire. You have so much gratitude that he gave you chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. That's what grace is. Until we take our last breath, God has basically took care of the sin issue. He is saying, stop thinking about every sin you commit. Stop thinking about every mistake that you made. I took care of that with Jesus. It's not your fault you was born into sin. How could you help that? How could you stop sinning? You couldn't. The problem is no church told you that. No church told you that because it's not your fault that you make mistakes and you have to learn and you have to develop a relationship with God and grow. Nobody told us that. Nobody told me that the 40 years that I was out there trying to overcome sin, fornication and adultery and too many other things, that I was never going to be able to do it. I thought I was one day going to be able to stop on my own, which is why I continue to pray and ask for forgiveness. God, please help me. Knowing good and well that I couldn't figure out why I couldn't stop. Well, that's what religion does to you. It makes you sin conscious. You are constantly aware of every sin you commit. Oh, I just told that lie. Well, it was a white lie, but it was a lie. Oh, Lord, I'm a liar. I must be going to go into hell because I'm a liar. I'm going to hell because I can't stop fornicating. I'm going to hell because I can't stop committing adultery. That's what religion teaches you. And then because of the guilt and the shame and the fear of going to hell, how do you get out of that? You don't. So when all of us look at all of the people we call hypocrites who go to church, go to the club, smoke weed, get drunk, you know, all of that, commit fornication, commit adultery, we're looking at them like, you're a hypocrite. That was me. You're a hypocrite now that I don't go to church anymore. But nothing had really changed. I just wasn't going to church trying to ask for forgiveness anymore. The struggle was still real, but I still wasn't going to church, going to the altar crying, trying to get them demons cast out. But now I can call everybody else that still goes a hypocrite. Well, how self-righteous I was. Because I was no better. I would still do the same thing just every now and then instead of on the regular with the people in the church. You know what? This is obviously a long testimony today, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for delivering me. But that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. I'm giving you real life examples with myself, with my mom, with my family, because I've watched us all go through similar things, you know. I've watched, for example, even this man's testimony, you know, and how he, even after getting this fellowship, he continued to have Bible studies and teach the truth about grace and about how God delivered him from religion. And so I just wanted to share that with you because it is so vital. There's so many people. You got Seventh-day Adventists who believe that the Sabbath is Saturday and everybody that goes to church on Sunday is going to hell because they believe that Sunday is the mark of the beast, blah, 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 blah. You know? And you can't tell them that this is not biblical. They done proved it in their own minds. And they ain't rightly dividing the word. Well, Jesus kept the Sabbath, and his disciples kept the Sabbath. Okay. Now what? If you're going to keep the Sabbath, you got to keep the rest of the laws. How are you going to just omit all the rest of them? So if Jesus and his disciples kept the Sabbath, then that means we're under the law? No. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. And you know what he said? I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Because the Pharisees was trying to trick him, just like the Seventh-day Adventists, talking about, you can't pick grain on the Sabbath. You can't get your, and then you know what Jesus told him? Which one of you ain't going to get your donkey out of a hole on the Sabbath? I am Lord of the Sabbath. You can't tell me what I can and can't do. And then in all throughout the New Testament, Paul and some of the others, they was writing about, stop trying to say that people got to keep the Sabbath. Stop trying to say that people have to eat certain foods. They over there tell me, oh, you can't eat that because it's food sacrificed by idols, like sacrificed to idol worshiping gods. No, you can't eat that. And you know what? Paul told them, go to somebody's house and eat the food that's sacrificed to the idols. You ain't sinned. You see, so you see what I'm saying, y'all? There's grace for that. Grace for everything that is confusing for us to get it and learn it. And Heavenly Father allows that time. That's where we get this contentment that Pastor Dollar is talking about in the Word of God. You get contentment. You get peace. You get joy. You get faith. You get all the fruits of the Spirit because of grace. That's how you can learn to have self-control. That's how you can learn to be patient. That's how you can learn to wait on God. That's how you can learn to trust Him. That's how you can learn to depend on Him, grace. And so people take that word grace and they sing it in a song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But they don't understand it because grace is Jesus. And when you really fully understand grace as Jesus, I depend on Jesus. That's grace. I trust Jesus. That's grace. Jesus helps me be patient. That's grace. Jesus helps me be meek. Meek. What is meek? People don't even understand meek. Meek is when you can say stuff and you don't say it because grace teaches you to control your tongue. Meek is when you could go off on somebody and you're right too because they was wrong, but meekness is grace telling you, don't say nothing, don't do nothing. Let me handle that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will vindicate you in due time. Humble yourself before the Lord. I will exalt you in due time. That's grace telling you, don't you do nothing. I told you to even love your enemies. How can you do that? Grace. What is that? Jesus. And you see how if you don't believe in Jesus as grace, giving you all the power to do all of those things through the Holy Spirit and the authority through Jesus, you're missing out. You're missing out on a lifetime of learning because that's what he's given us all the way till we take our last breath. A lifetime of learning. If you ever stop learning and you're not a student of Jesus and a student of grace, Houston, we have a problem because you're on your own. And I can't even imagine, for 40 years I messed up. I can't even say messed up. For 40 years I learned the wrong way. Well, now I'm blessed to hopefully, Lord willing, have another 40 years to learn the right way. And like I said last time, I really believe it's all a setup anyway. Since we're predestined and God knew everything we were going to do wrong, and he knew everything that he was going to give us grace to do right and mercy to do right, he knew. And he didn't beat us up while we was jacked. And he still ain't beating us up because he took care of it through Jesus and grace. And so if he ain't thinking about none of that past stuff, why are we? Oh, Lord, I spent 40 years and I didn't know. Get over it. Now you got, today's a new day. He ain't in the past. Why are you in the past? And I just love that because Heavenly Father is saying all things work together for our good. That's what Joseph said. When Joseph spent all them years in prison, why didn't he say, woe is me, oh, Lord, I wasted my time in prison. No, he didn't. God was still using him in prison. He was a faithful soldier and a good soldier in prison, good steward in prison, to the point where he was the best prisoner up in prison. And he was, God gave him the gift to interpret people's dreams, and he said, just remember me when you get. And they forgot. Until, and you know, he could have been mad at God, but he wasn't. He just wanted to believe that God was going to get him out, and God did, right in the right time, in the right place, but years he spent. And so when you guys think about, you know, all of the years that you spent doing this and doing that, be like Joseph. What did he say when God got him out, you know, through the chief, I don't remember who it was, baker or chief, somebody. When he got him out, he remembered, you know, Joseph interpreting dreams, and he said, oh, there was that guy, Joseph, in prison. And he interpreted a dream, and everything he said happened. Pharaoh said, bring him to me. So the Pharaoh made Joseph the governor of Egypt, and then Joseph's family, them brothers who jacked him up, put him in the hole, you know, was going to kill him, and then one of them said, nah, let's sell him. And then they sold him, and then you know the rest of the story. Potiphar's wife ripped his clothes off, and Joseph ran from her butt naked, and Potiphar, who was, I believe he was the right-hand man to the Pharaoh, whatever his role was, and he knew Joseph was of God, but, I mean, what could he say? His wife is lying on him. What could he say? He probably even knew she was lying. So he sends him to prison, and that's where, you know, Joseph had to receive grace, y'all. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're receiving grace. And when Joseph got out, and then brothers ended up coming to Egypt because of the famine, and they didn't have no food, what did Joseph? He said the enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's how we got to look at. The devil let us go through all of that madness because he was trying to pull us away from God, distract us by keeping us locked up in religion and bondage and sin and but God meant it for good because look at what God has done to us today. Look at how he has made us free today. Look at how he has blessed us today and with so much grace to continue to learn the right way of believing. We dividing the word of truth with the Holy Spirit's help. We continue to learn, taking off the old man and putting on the new man, renewing our minds every day, updating the software. I love how Pastor Dollar breaks it down so we understand it. Even a child can understand the way he teaches. And so I just thank God once again. Thank y'all for your patience on my long testimony. But Heavenly Father just had me go down this, you know, road today with all of the things that religion does. And so if you want the books, Brother Raymond Fran, email me. I will send you the books, YvonneWatson0501@gmail.com. And thank you, Heavenly Father. Even though it's a long testimony, it's a very valuable one because these people have, you know, they probably got hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of baptized Jehovah's Witnesses all over the world and Seventh-day Adventists, you know, baptized all over the world. And we've got to help as much many people as we can with the grace gospel, and with God's help, we can continue to tell the truth, and hopefully it'll get to the right people at the right time. Prayerfully, God's will, his way, his timing. But that's why the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. We need more laborers, not laborers to earn salvation and to earn grace and to earn God's favor. No, we want to share the gospel because we love it. It changed our lives, and we want to share it with others so they too can experience contentment, which religion does not give you. Peace, which religion does not give you. Reverencing Heavenly Father, which religion does not give you. Religion gives you fear of Heavenly Father, fear of his punishment, fear of the Old Testament ways that's going to send you to hell because you can't keep all the laws. But remember, it's a setup. He only showed you how bad you were because you couldn't do it. He knew you couldn't do it. And the only way he could show you how you couldn't do it was to give you them laws, to give them to you. So once you saw, I can't stop lying, I can't stop doing this, I can't, once you could actually admit it, then he could give you the new way. But as long as you wanted to think you could stop, he was going to let you. He's going to let you because you're trying to do it on your own, and you keep praying and asking for forgiveness, and you think you could stop one day. That was me. I thought if I fasted and prayed enough, if I got out of them churches that was all hypocrites, that I could find a way. Well, this is the only thing that worked, y'all. I have been celibate for over 6 years, and I'm so grateful to God. Not because of me, but because of grace, because of his mercy, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that gives me the ability to say no to all of these men that come to the same fork in the road. Oh, yeah, no, can't do it. My relationship with God is more important than anything else on the face of this earth, including a few seconds of pleasure. No, not doing that. And they don't understand it. And as soon as, you know, we have to come to that fork in the road, they end up leaving. So be it. Gonna fight them, and I'm not gonna fight it, the act. I'm grateful that I'm in this place today, but everybody ain't there yet. I don't put them down. I don't judge them. I don't say you're going to hell. I don't do that. I just say a little prayer and hope that one day on their journey, they'll get the truth about God's grace and forgiveness of sin and being delivered through grace, not through religion, through grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, being delivered when Heavenly Father wants to deliver you. I can't say when that's going to happen for anybody. Nobody could tell me that it would take me 40 plus years. So anyway, y'all, thank you again so much for your patience. I've preached a sermon today, but I hope you were blessed to receive my testimony, and I hope that it helps somebody out there who's going through similar. So there's so many different ways that God uses us. Practically, two words. It's very powerful, and sometimes you have to break that thing down to the point where a child could understand it. And Holy Spirit has given us grace to do that. Jesus has given us the authority to do that. You know, we are sons and kings and priests. And that's how the harvest is plentiful. You know, that's how the laborers are few. Because there ain't that many people that can break this down to the point where a child can understand it. And so grace, grace, grace helps us do that. So if I take a long time, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for so much grace. Because that's that talking. That ain't me. It's not me. I promise you, I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm developing more grace to do this. And thank you for your patience. All right. That's it. That being said, we're going to try this again, Lord willing, at 8 p.m. Aren't you having a ball that we are doing two times a day now instead of just on Wednesdays and Saturdays? Heavenly Father did this, and he did it because it wasn't working. The system wasn't working, and when it did work, I was so grateful. I was trying to get as much food as possible because I knew how lax we were. Keep on going 2 times a day until he says, go back to 1. I don't know. He may not ever say it. But I'm just enjoying every day. Every day with him. Every day we get stronger because of grace. Every day we learn more because of grace. So why wouldn't we want more? You know, it reminds me of that song, more, more, more. More of you, Jesus. More of grace, Jesus. More. I want more. Y'all can see I'm just full of the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, okay, once again, we will do this again, Lord willing, at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank every listener, every caller on the phone lines. I see you're still there. I thank God for you. And every listener online through the internet, I thank you as well for coming back over and over. Jamaica, almost 2% of the population of Jamaica listens. Australia, United Kingdom, India, still top numbers. You guys are face coming every week. We still have Russia. We have many of the countries in Africa. We have Colombia, South America. We have Canada. We have many countries like Italy and France. I just thank God for all of y'all. I can't name all of y'all. I'm on a roll already. And I just thank God for each and every one of you. I pray that you will continue to receive this soul food at the table of the Lord. We are feasting on soul food. That helps us grow, y'all, in so many ways. And I just thank God every opportunity he gives us. So tune in again, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, if you can make it. Until then, may his grace, his love, his peace, his mercy, his joy, his everything be with each and every one of you. God bless, take care, and don't forget, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that's what we say on the Sabbath day. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to keep the Sabbath the way the old way was. I acknowledge that Heavenly Father created the Sabbath and made it holy. But if I had to keep it the way it was, I couldn't do it, and neither can the Seventh-day Adventists. They just don't know it. They try, and they still mess up, and they need grace, but they just don't know it. So thank you, Heavenly Father, once again. Take care, y'all. Bye-bye.